The Doctrine of the Seed of the Serpent. Part 3. The following message, originally preached and presented by Brother Amos at Bible Faith Tabernacle, Lagos, Nigeria, on Sunday the 11th of March, Sunday the 25th of March, 2018, had to be written in October 2020, from scratch, by Brother Amos, and is the third installment of a four-part message. It has truly shone the revelational spotlight of the Almighty God on issues in His Holy Word, long misunderstood, and have made them absolutely crystal clear. I greet each and everyone in the most precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and may the Lord bless you all. Please come with me to Genesis chapter 3, and we will take verse 15, where God declared plainly and categorically to the serpent creature, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Based on this verse of scripture, the Lord helping us, we will continue our message, titled, The Doctrine of the Seed of the Serpent. Brothers and sisters, in the last segment, we concluded our consideration of Genesis chapter 3, where God drove both Adam and Eve out of paradise, the garden, shutting man completely out of his divine presence. From the day we lost access to paradise, we lost access to God's divine presence. The good news, however, is that by the great sacrifice of Himself that He offered willingly at Calvary, the Lord Jesus paid the full price of sin and has created a way for us back into God's very presence, back into paradise, even as Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 20 reveals. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest presence of God, where God's Shekinah glory dwells, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He, Jesus Christ, hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Amen. Let us, therefore, enter into God's presence, for the Lord beckons us to enter in. He beckons us to come home, for this life has been made absolutely subject to vanity, and the world has now completely and irreparably fallen apart. The world as we know it is finished, for this is where it ends. Church, as we now move on with our message, we must not forget that at the judgment bar in the Garden of Eden, the woman, Eve, was already pregnant with the two seeds, the seed of the serpent, and the seed of the woman, Cain and Abel, for in the day, she had only recently conceived the seeds, being in the early stages of conception. And God was not going to allow her to deliver in the garden, paradise, in God's divine presence, but outside of the garden. Thus far, therefore, and by the grace of God, we have scripturally established the serpent creature and his physical profile, his original former profile, as well as his present day profile. In the beginning, or at first, he was an upright creature who could walk and talk, a perfect type of the Neanderthal man, the prehistoric man, the head of the animal kingdom, the vessel the devil used to bring about the fall, and later, he became a new species of snake when he was judged by God in the garden. We have also established his seed, who, at this point in time, and in the day, was yet to be born, for he was still only a seed in the womb of Eve, which in French is referred to as enfant semé, a child conceived but not yet born, a child in the womb, who was conceived along with the seed of the woman, through her husband, Adam, as revealed in Genesis chapter 3. May I remind you, saints of God, that Genesis chapter 6 is really the focal thrust of this message, for that is precisely where we are going with this message, because of the downright demonic teaching that is going around the world on a big scale, bombarding Christendom, a doctrine that is directly from the pit of hell. However, before we go into Genesis chapter 6, we are first going to consider Genesis chapter 4 to lay out the material developments which set the platform or the stage for what we see in Genesis chapter 6. For we cannot have a perfect divine understanding of Genesis chapter 6 if we do not understand Genesis chapter 4, just as we cannot truly understand the seeds projected in Genesis chapter 4 without a revelational understanding of Genesis chapter 3. Because Genesis chapter 3 is where it all began, and it is what lays the foundation for the developments which took place on the earth in Genesis chapter 4. The serpent creature had been judged and transformed into a new species of snake for introducing sex for pleasure to Eve. And Adam and Eve had also been driven out of the garden, paradise, a little heaven on earth, which was then withdrawn. For God simply withdrew his presence and shut man out, making man earthbound, and now the misery of man began. As it is written in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15, the way of transgressors is hard. Church, please turn with me to Genesis chapter 4, beginning from verse 1, where the Holy Bible records, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, without a second knowing." Brothers and sisters, there are two fundamental truths we must know about these two verses of Scripture. First, the knowing that was referred to here, the sexual relationship that verse 1 speaks about, was what took place back in the garden in chapter 3. However, in setting forth the inspired account of the developments that took place in this chapter 4, Moses was inspired to start with a knowing that took place back in the garden, when Adam knew his wife in the garden, when he had sex for pleasure with her, after the serpent had first had the same sex for pleasure with her, by which she conceived the two seeds, who were now produced outside the garden setting, in chapter 4. It is likened to when Apostle John, in conveying the beginning of Jesus Christ in his inspired account, as laid out in St. John chapter 1, did not start with when he was born, but went way back into the mind of God, in eternity, ever before there was time, to set forth his beginning, the beginning of the Messiah, when as yet, he was only a thought, the central thought in the mind of God, the Logos, in verses 1 to 2. Second, we must also note that all we have in the two verses of Scripture is just one knowing, one sexual relationship, and one conception, and it was spoken of only with respect to Adam, and yet, ours came to seeds, not at the same time, for there was a small period in between the birth of the two seeds, a small time gap, which could be just many hours, or a day, or more, but a gap, nonetheless. Because when the firstborn, who was Cain, came forth, this time gap allowed Eve the liberty to celebrate and rejoice solely on his birth, and to thank God, saying, I have gotten a man from the Lord, before Bel also later came out. And she had to thank God for Cain, because all life comes from God. Although God was not responsible for the fornication, the sin of sex for pleasure that she had committed with the serpent. But the point is, all life comes by the law of God, which ensures, guarantees, that every seed brings forth after his own kind, whatever the seed sown, even though God is not responsible for the seed sown. Genesis 1 verse 11. Then later, she gave birth to another seed who was Abel. Are you listening to me? So, there was definitely a time gap between the delivery of the two children, the two boys, which gave her the time to rejoice and thank God for the firstborn. And for the sake of those who may question this truth, let me give you another case in question, a modern-day case. On the 26th of August, the 20th, 19, LoveScience.com published a similar case which occurred in this our day, and it is thus. And please note that all emphasis is mine. When Lilia Kornova-Lova became pregnant with twins, she didn't expect to give birth twice. But the 29-year-old, who lives in northern Kazakhstan, was in the hospital two times, once in May, for the birth of a daughter, and again earlier this month, August, for the birth of a son. My son was in no rush to come out into the world, Kornova-Lova said, as reported by the Daily Mail. The twins were born 11 weeks apart. Such a long interval between twins is rare, but not unheard of. The world record twins born 87 days apart was set in 2012. But it's not just the separate birthdays that set these twins apart, it's the fact that each one gestated in a separate womb. That's because Kornova-Lova has a condition called uterus diadelphes, which essentially means that she has a double uterus. Uterus diadelphes is surprisingly common, 1 in 2,000 women have it. The conditions occur early in development, when the two tubes that all female fetuses have, which normally fuse into one uterus, instead develop into two separate wombs. Saints of God, we have to see that at this end of time, God is simply confirming his word on different levels and in various ways, clearly vindicating the very things that took place back in Genesis, leaving man without any excuse for not walking in the light of truth. Brothers and sisters, we are continuing with the record of Genesis chapter 4. Outside of the garden, where it was one intimate relationship and one conception that was stated in verses 1 to 2. And it was strictly with regards to Adam, as the knowing which Eve had with the serpent creature was now blanked out of this very account, the Lord juggling the picture of the divine puzzle. And just why should God make the deep things of His Spirit, the mysteries of the kingdom, plain? We must not forget that in those days, although they did not have a scanning machine, but by prophetic insight Adam had, as a son of God, Adam knew for a God-given certainty that there were two seeds in the womb of Eve, which was precisely why it is written, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." Genesis 3 verse 20. And when the two boys, who were only half-brothers, came forth, the first one, Cain, was the seed of the serpent, whilst the other one, Abel, was the seed of the woman, that is, the seed of Adam. Please note that the next time Adam would know his wife, the second knowing that he would actually have, according to the inspired record of the Holy Bible, was what produced Seth, as revealed in verse 25, which clearly states, "And Adam knew his wife again," meaning, a second time, being indeed the second recorded knowing, "and she bare a son, and called his name Seth, for God," said she, "hath appointed me another seed, another heir of Adam, instead of Abel, whom Cain slew." Seth taking the place of Abel, which is why for all purposes of inheritance and for Adam's genealogy, it is Seth we will always see, and not Abel, simply because Abel was not allowed to live long enough to bear seed, for he was murdered by Cain. That is why on our chart, we place Seth right behind Abel, right here. Brother Amos points to the chart, where we have the second enmity, and two, because he was appointed by God in the place of Abel, and I repeat, it was for all purposes of inheritance, and for all purposes of the genealogy of the Adamic lineage. Genesis chapter 5 confirms this truth, declaring in verses 1 to 5, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth, who was appointed in the place of Abel. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." Again, speaking about the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, in Luke chapter 3, beginning from verse 23, however, it concludes in verse 38, clearly stating, "which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God." Abel was replaced by Seth, and that is why Seth is whom we will always see in the genealogy of Adam. Brothers and sisters, although it is Seth we will always see in the genealogy of Adam, nevertheless, because Abel was also a son of Adam, who was the son of God, Abel is also recognized in the Holy Scriptures, and mentioned, because he is part of the righteous seeds of God, begotten through Adam. That is precisely why Abel is acknowledged as a righteous seed of God, as recorded in Matthew chapter 23, where Jesus openly rebuked the scribes and Pharisees, saying to them in verses 33 to 35, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets, and wise men, and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues, and persecute them from city to city." Now listen closely to verse 35, "that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, by the seeds of the serpent, from, or beginning with, the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias son of Barachas, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar, in the generation, saints of God." In addition, Luke 11 verse 51, Hebrews 11 verse 4, and Hebrews 12 verse 24, all give the same inspired testimony about Abel, reinforcing the truth that Abel was indeed a son of God, being a son of Adam. On the other hand, and in total contrast, and to prove that Cain was not a son of Adam, but was indeed the seed of the serpent, Cain was not only completely blanked out of the genealogy of Adam, for he was never included in the lineage of Adam anywhere in the Holy Scriptures, but furthermore, and more importantly, he was also plainly and categorically declared to be of the wicked one, Satan, whose works were also evil, a declaration that cannot be made about Adam or any of his offspring, who are definitely not of the wicked one, who is the devil. In the epistle of 1 John chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Apostle John declared in very plain terms, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, the two seeds. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now listen to this, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, Satan, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous." No wonder, Apostle Jude, speaking specifically about Cain, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, warned the saints in Jude chapter 1, verses 8 to 11, declaring, "Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities, God's dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Listen to this, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, who was very presumptuous and self-willed, bearing only a carnal knowledge of God, totally devoid of the revelation of life, a man who could not submit to the truth, the revealed truth of God, and was without mercy, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, peddling a kind of message of money and materialism, monetizing and perverting the gospel of Christ, all for personal gain, and perished in the gain, saying of course, which was presumptuousness. So, it is scripturally settled, therefore, just as we have stated before, that Cain was never expressed or included in the genealogy of Adam, which he would have been included in, if indeed he was Adam's seed, Adam's firstborn, Adam's heir, and neither was he ever acknowledged anywhere in the Holy Scriptures, as part of the righteous seeds of God, and it is for the simple fact that he was not a seed of God, but rather, he was plainly and categorically declared to be of the opposite seed, a seed of the devil, a declaration that most certainly cannot be made of any seed of God, any of God's elect children. Now let us go back to open up Genesis chapter 4, as it relates to the two seeds, Cain and Abel, the seed of the serpent, and the seed of the woman, by Adam. May I ask, saints of God, that the inspired written record of the expressed, manifested, genetic attributes of the two seeds prove precisely who they are, and it proves their specific parentage, for it tells us exactly who their fathers were. Their DNA cannot lie. No, it most definitely cannot lie. Church, listen closely, as we give a thorough breakdown of this material chapter of the Holy Bible. Genesis chapter 4, beginning from verse 1, records, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, back in the garden, in Genesis 3 verse 6, and she conceived, in the same ovulation cycle, after she had first known the serpent, and had firstly conceived by him, in a medical case known as heteropitinal superfecundation, and bare Cain, Eve's firstborn, who was by the serpent, and hence, was undoubtedly the seed of the serpent, a natural seed whom God spoke about in Genesis 3 verse 15. And how revealing and perfect the name of Cain is, because it means acquired, and indeed, Cain was acquired by Satan as a vicarious, indirect seed, because he, Satan, cannot create seed, for only God can, which was precisely why the devil had to acquire him through the serpent, and that was even by God's allowance. We will take verse 1 again. "And Adam knew Eve his wife, in Genesis 3 verse 6, back in the garden. And she conceived and bare Cain, and Eve said, I have gotten a man from the Lord, because God, by his law of reproduction, gives life to all seed sown, regardless of who sows it and how it is sown. All life comes from God. Verse 2. And she again bare his brother Abel, his half-brother, shortly thereafter, in the same pregnancy. Now watch the occupation of the two seeds, for they took something from their respective fathers. They shared the genetic traits that were transferred to them, their father's DNA, expressed in their individual talents, their individual natural abilities, which determined their individual vocations. Verse 2b. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, just like Adam, his father, whom the Lord gave dominion over the entire animal kingdom. But Cain was a tiller of the ground, just like the serpent, who was the seventh gardener of Adam, who knew every little detail about the makeup of plants and the composition of soils for effective and successful farming. As that was all that the serpent creature could relate to, being only an animal, a carnal creature, though he was upright in his original physical profile. Brothers and sisters, the Lord having shown us their vocation, which lets us see their natural individual talents, the inspired record now shifts to reveal their spiritual makeup, their true spiritual constitution, which lets us see the true state of their souls. However, let me first point out, for we must not forget, that Cain was the seed of the serpent, who was a beast creature, an animal, although he looked, walked, and spoke just like a man, being the closest to man in the gradient of creation, but a beast, nonetheless. Hence, the serpent had no soul, but he had a spirit, just as all animals and all living things have their spirits, for they all live by the spirit life that God has made for them. For God took part of himself, and made the spirit life that would be in plants, even though God is not a plant. He also took part of himself, and made the spirit life that would be in microbes, in bugs, in insects, in fishes, in birds, and in animals, even though God is not a microbe, or a bug, or an insect, or a fish, or a bird, or an animal, and neither is God a man. But the fact is, all living things, all organisms, owe their existence to God, who is the source of all life. The breath of life that all things breathe comes from God, the only source of life, all life. Hence, the reason no one tells the trees that when winter is coming, they have to shed their leaves in autumn. They do so by themselves, and it is always at the right time, because they are living things. Furthermore, how else do you think birds and animals are able to see, hear, taste, smell, and feel, on a scale that even surpasses that of humans a million times over, and with an instinct, a God-given instinct, not only to make their long migrations without any human direction, but also the instinct to sense danger, such as an impending earthquake, and they run away to safety, ever before it strikes, an instinct that even human beings do not have. Come on! It is all by the spirit of life that God has given them, the spirit of life which all living things have. Consequently, the serpent, being an animal, though upright in his physical profile, and as animals were not created to worship God, but were only created to serve God's purpose on earth, and to look to Adam, whom God created over them as their head, therefore, did not possess a soul, except a spirit, just like every other living thing that God had created. And it is for this very reason that there is no animal that prays to God, no animal that can pray to God, no animal that worships God, and that is simply because they have no soul. For the soul, amongst other attributes, is the seat of emotions, wisdom, reasoning, and most importantly, it is the seat of conscience, God consciousness, and divine revelation. When animals die, for instance, their bodies simply go back to the dust, and their spirits go back to God, who owns all life, for they have served God's purpose, and hence, there is no hell for them, and neither is there any resurrection for them. On the other hand, and in total contrast, when God made the spirit of Adam, and put him in a body of flesh, as it is written, then man became a living soul. Genesis 2 verse 7. That is why the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel 18 verses 4 and 20. Which is precisely why we need redemption, so we can go to paradise, to heaven, and live eternally. This confirms the inarguable fact that whilst a man has a soul, in total distinction, an animal does not. And although Cain was the seed of the serpent creature, who was an animal, and who had no soul, even though he was just like man in his physical appearance, nevertheless, since Cain was also conceived by the woman, Eve, we must realize, therefore, that Cain also had a soul, the quality of which was clearly imperfect. He had a partial soul quality, which he definitely inherited from his mother, Eve. In total contrast, Abel, who was the seed of the woman, meaning he was the seed of Adam, who was the Son of God, had a soul quality that was full, complete, and impeccable, except that he had death imputed into his bloodstream. And Damos points out that the worship which these two seeds offered to God in this chapter of Genesis solidly vindicates this absolute truth. Please pay attention, because God laid out a lot of revelational fossils for the elect bright seeds of God at this same time to help us to unveil the mysteries of God buried in the inspired record of Genesis. Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 now provides, "And in process of time it came to pass, that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, in worship, as an act of worship, in devotion." The question now is this: how did Cain know that he was to worship God? By bringing a sacrifice, an offering. Just how did he know that he was to serve God? He had to have learned it from Adam and Eve, as it is not something that he could have known by himself, and neither is it something that he could have inherited from his father, the serpent, who was never created to worship God, and who never worshipped God. Unfortunately, there was really nothing in Cain that could connect with God, nothing that would enable him to log on to God, and by which would receive the true divine knowledge that he needed to worship God acceptably, being the seed of the serpent. How many see the seed of the serpent, because his nature that he expressed in relation to God, testifies of the serpentine parentage? It most certainly does. How many see the picture that is about to unfold? He had received the instruction from Mama, and undoubtedly, he had also received the same instruction from his stepfather, Adam, that they needed to worship God, but he did not have the soul quality that could connect directly to God and relate personally to God to log on to a divine revelation. There was nothing in the soul that he had that could receive a divine revelation from God, because the partial soul quality that he received from Mama was just not enough for him to be able to receive any divine revelation from God, as it was missing something most vital, which I call a God essence, and it was all because he was the seed of the serpent. And as it is written in the book of Hebrews, without revelation, it is completely impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, plainly declares, "But without faith, which is divine revelation, it is impossible to please him, who is God." Period. You most certainly need a revelation from God, one which anchors firmly and exclusively in the Holy Scriptures, or you cannot please God. You just will not know how to please God, for although you may give him your best, however, if it is not according to the revelation, light, of truth, your offerings and sacrifices will avail nothing. This proves that our best is not enough, if it is not according to truth, if it is contrary to revealed truth. Full stop. Brothers and sisters, upon this fundamental and immutable truth lies the two sacrifices we are now about to consider, sacrifices which reveal the true spiritual makeup and identity of the two seeds we are considering, and it all goes back to their parentage. Verse 3 records, "And in process of time it came to pass, that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord." This was a sacrifice or offering that lacked blood, for it was totally devoid of blood, which was what God required for anyone who was to approach unto him for worship, on account of the fall, because God will not meet with any man, except under the blood. The offering of Cain, though carnally impressive, for it was carnally beautiful and most impressively decorated, with lovely amazing gorgeous flowers, and with absolutely great-looking juicy fruits, an incredible sight to behold, nevertheless, it lacked the only divine requirement of God. It lacked an atoning blood sacrifice, an animal sacrifice, which pointed to the coming perfect sacrifice at Calvary. We must not forget that as a seed of the serpent, he could only look at redemption and the worship of God strictly from a carnal perspective, and hence, it was impossible for him to possess the truth, reveal truth, and neither could he truly appreciate the value of truth, for he only had a religious spirit. This gives us the first class of serpent seeds, religious serpent seeds, although we shall also later see the second class of serpent seeds, the non-religious serpent seeds, two classes of serpent seeds, all of whom came out of this one seed of the serpent, who was Cain. Saints of God, having seen the offering of Cain, let us now consider the offering of Abel, which was in total contrast to that of Cain. Just look at Abel, the seed of the woman, by Adam, her husband. Abel, who, himself, was the son of God, being the son of Adam, is vast for records. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, a little lamb for sacrifice, and of the fat thereof, as a burnt offering. And the Lord, God, had respect unto Abel, firstly, and to his offering, secondly, simply meaning that God first accepted the person of Abel, before he also accepted his sacrifice, which was perfect. And if we may ask, why did God accept the person of Abel? It was not only because Abel was the seed of Adam, the son of God, which indeed is the first point of note, but it was also because of his approach to God, what he was coming with, which was a paschal lamb. Wake up. Now we are on holy ground, and you cannot deny the holy scriptures. Verse 4b. And the Lord had respect, first, unto Abel and, then also, to his offering. Now contrast that with the experience of Cain in verse 5, which records, but unto Cain, firstly, and to his offering, secondly, he, God, had not respect. And if we may also ask, why did God reject the very person of Cain? It was not only because Cain was the seed of the serpent, the vicarious son of Lucifer, which is the first point of note. It was also because of his approach to God, what he was coming with, a non-sacrifice, something that amounted to a spiritual nullity. Come on! You have to see the light, for there is no way a serpent seed will be accepted by God, and neither can his approach to God be right, except to have a carnal approach, because a serpent seed will always remain a serpent seed, a seed of Satan. Neither can the seed of God end up becoming a seed of the devil, nor can his approach to God be wrong, for that is impossible. He can only have a revelated approach, even though a seed of God may serve the devil for a while. That is precisely why Jesus came seeking strictly for the lost sheep of God. For before we were lost, we were sheep. When we were lost, we were sheep, lost sheep. And when we were found, we are still sheep. For our condition or state does not change who we are. It does not change our identity, either as seeds or non-seeds of God. Luke 15, verses 4 to 6. Herein lies the mystery of God about humanity. For we are either seeds or non-seeds of God. Saints of God, the very fact that the person of Cain was rejected by God proves that he was the seed of the serpent. And I know someone will tell me that in verse 7, God stated, "If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted?" But we must see that this was uttered to give Cain the very same opportunity for redemption that Abel had received. It was strictly to show that Cain had an equal opportunity, even though he still would not submit to the truth of God and come the right way, because of who he was, that by his response thereafter, we may see precisely who he was, the seed of the serpent. We may likewise ask, how did Abel offer the perfect sacrifice that he gave? Brothers and sisters, we must not make the mistake of thinking that Abel brought an animal sacrifice because he was a shepherd and the Cain brought fruits simply because he was a farmer. For as it is infallibly written in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, by faith, by divine revelation, for it was by the vision of God that he received, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Amen. It is further written in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works, his offering were evil, totally opposed to the revelation of God, which is a revelation of life, and his brother's righteous. That settles it. Since the very fact that Cain could not receive or log on to the revelation of God proves that he was indeed an unseed of God, for he had nothing of God in him that could appreciate and accept the revealed truth of God, and it was only for the simple fact that he was indeed the seed of the serpent. Period. This is one fundamental truth about serpent seeds. All serpent seeds, however religious they may be, whatever zeal or fervency they may show, we will continue our consideration of Genesis chapter 4, but we will back up to verse 4, and it provides, "And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he," God, "had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, angry, and his countenance fell. He became sad, downcast. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, if you came by blood, which is the right approach, just as your brother did, which is the only provided way that the Lord will meet with man, any man, on account of the fall, shall thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well," meaning, since you did not come by blood, a ready mean offering, "sin, sacrifice, lieth at the door," meaning, "I have provided an animal for you to use, and it is waiting at the door of your tent. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him," meaning, use the animal for your sacrifice. This is a truth we laid out in our scribe, titled, "Sin Lieth at the Door," and it is available online for free downloading. Brothers and sisters, despite God's immeasurable graciousness, Cain still bluntly refused to accept God's truth, blatantly and willfully preferring to offer what he thought and believed was good, looking solely at the carnal beauty of his offering, compared to the bloody sacrifice of Abel, which he looked at as messy, utterly disgusting, and unacceptable, but which was redemptive, nonetheless, for it was divinely inspired, perfect. Since the very fact that despite God's prodding, and the second opportunity that Cain was given to come by blood just like Abel, whose offering had been supernaturally and visibly accepted, and had been vindicated as the absolute truth of God, Cain still could not see any iota of truth in Abel's perfect revelator sacrifice, to equally come by blood, plus the fact that he bluntly refused to listen to God Almighty, though God provided an animal for him to use, proves beyond any iota of doubt, that indeed, Cain was not the seed of Adam, but was undoubtedly the seed of the serpent. What is more, he was nursing an extremely evil jealousy, and a demonic hatred for his brother, Abel, who did absolutely nothing wrong or evil to him, as verse 8 now reveals. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, luring him to where he would kill him. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him, wickedly and in cold blood, committing the first murder on the planet, in the days of Adam, and hence, Cain became the first murderer, from the era of Adam and Eve, just like Lucifer. This murder setting is what we have portrayed right here. Brother Amos points to the chart, on the bottom left side of our chart, with the two altars of sacrifice behind them. Verse 9, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper?" Oh my! What a monster Cain was! Cain lied blatantly to the omniscient God, and flatly denied his divine duty of love and care for his brother, without any prick of conscience. Saints of God, firstly, we must ask, just where did Cain get all these hateful, evil, violent, wicked, mean, merciless, and demonic attributes, inhuman attributes, beastly attributes, when, as it is written, every seed brings forth after his own kind? Genesis 1 verse 11, Matthew 7 verse 18, every seed begets like seed. Brothers and sisters, if you cannot see the seed of the serpent, I cannot help your blindness. For we must even realize that it is this hateful, mean, violent, evil, wicked, merciless, and inhuman, beastly attributes we see right here in Genesis that would carry on to the very end of harvest, where it would come to maturity, full maturity, giving us the maturing of evil seeds when they would then be wiped out with fire on the day of the Lord, which is precisely why today, here at this same time, there is no longer any civility or decency or empathy in humanity, being the lowest class of human beings ever to be produced on this planet. They are all just like brute beasts, animals, inherently hateful, extremely racist, merciless, without any human compassion, inventors of evil things, utterly godless, treacherous, worshippers of mammon, fame seekers, extremely proud and arrogant, spreaders of fake news, lies, disinformation, internet hackers, men stealers, kidnappers, baby stealers and sellers, rapists, armed robbers, gang members, murderers, hired assassins, serial killers, idol, devil, worshippers and occultists, witches and sorcerers, makers of human sacrifices, narcotic, drug, dealers in pushes, warmongers, hawkish, forced slavery traffickers, forced labor traffickers, very wicked, extremely violent and implacable, tremongers, pimps, forced prostitution agents, child prostitution traffickers, pedophiles, pornography racketeers, people given to best charity, necrophiliacs, insanely vulgar and nasty dressers, perverts, depraved, morally degenerate and completely bankrupt, utterly shameless, most unreasonable, absolutely senseless, reasoning like imbeciles, morons, for they are very idiotic, stupid as ever, most inconsiderate, full of envy and jealousy, disobedient to parents, most unthankful, extremely selfish, self-centered, lovers of self, completely vain and outrightly carnal-minded, off-bound, covetous and greedy, materialistic, vindictive, God-haters, and despisers of those that are good, unholy, sadistic, and they are as mean as a devil, inhuman, and with no conscience, creating mayhem and chaos all around the globe, all because the seeds of the serpent have indeed come to maturity, full maturity. Open your eyes to the world around you, and see something. Take instruction, and be wise, for this is where it all ends. That is precisely the reason the present day leaders of the world are the worst ever, the best set. Some are low-down moral perverts, some are pathological and impulsive liars, shameless and despicable creatures, men without conscience, repugnant human beings. Some can destroy their entire nation, just to remain in power, for it is all about their personal selfish interests. Many are incredibly and inconceivably corrupt, and hence, they loot the treasuries of their countries, totally impoverishing their people, leaving them in total abject poverty, and untold misery, untold suffering. And these horrible leaders live extremely large, and sleep easy, and others are power-hungry, power-drunk despots, authoritarians, extremely vindictive and wicked, mean like the devil, men whose cruelty knows no limit, for they are lunatics in power, which is precisely why some of them turn their people into slave workers, forced laborers, completely stripped of human dignity and meaningful existence. Consider this, saints of God, for you must see exactly what the devil began in Genesis. During the presidency of Barack Obama, the prince of moral perverts, prodded on by Joe Biden, his vice president, the devil used him to take the perverted and abominable lifestyle of LGBTQ to another level. So much so, not only did he drip the White House at night with lights that were the rainbow color of LGBTQ, which is an abomination, and equally a slap in the face of God, because the rainbow is God's covenant with man, but also, gender became a matter of personal feeling, a matter of perception. If, as a man, you woke up one morning and you felt you were a woman, you could, by law, use a public female toilet, restroom. And as a woman, if you felt that you were a man that morning, you could, by law, equally use a man's public toilet, restroom. And this abominable and insane law was enforced, even in schools of learning. Gender became a matter of perception, rather than a biological fact, a biological reality. That is demonic. It is utter confusion, and the height of lunacy, for it is completely insane. So, because of a few moral perverts, they had to turn the whole world on its head. Saints of God, assure you the seeds of the serpent. That is precisely why we now live in an hour that seems like the vengeance of evil. For iniquity now has a bold face. It is terrorizing righteousness and defying God, extremely arrogant and audaciously, boldly, blasphemous. It is all happening here at the same time, because Genesis only gives us the introduction of the two seeds. The beginning or the genesis of the two seeds, the seeds of Satan, begotten vicariously through the serpent, and the seeds of God, begotten through Adam, two seeds who are ruled by the two spirits, God and Satan, the spirits of good and evil, truth and error, two seeds who would multiply and be carried through time. Open your eyes. And talking specifically about the seeds of the serpent, they also give us at this very end of the harvest of seeds, a special class, a special crop, what the chief apostle called Satan's designer babies, who are tattooed all over their bodies, looking like reptiles, demons, with rings all over their ears, noses, eyebrows, and lips. They look like hell, dress like hell, walk like hell, think like hell, talk like hell, act like hell, and live like hell. Repulsive, hideous-looking seeds of Satan, who embody everything demonic, devilish, everything that is opposed to God and righteousness, and who now cover God's earth like the bubonic plague. In this special category, we also have the drag queens, who are male transvestites, men who dress like women, for they are female impersonators, abhorrent, detestable, looking creatures, grotesque. Consequently, brothers and sisters, as we come back to continue our consideration of Genesis chapter 4, regarding the extremely evil nature of Cain, back then at the very beginning of man, we have to see that the evil, hateful, violent, wicked, merciless, mean, and inhuman attributes, beastly attributes, demonic attributes, that Cain manifested, inherent satanic traits, proves that he was the seed of the serpent. Secondly, with the baseless and wicked killing of Abel by Cain, we have to see the enmity at work, the second enmity, and two, that God decreed what exists between the two seeds, as recorded in Genesis 3 verse 15, an enmity which also carries on through time between the two seeds, between their posterity, their future generations, proving that indeed, Cain and Abel were the two opposing seeds that God spoke about in Genesis 3 verse 15. And may I warn, that it is not the seed of the woman that hates and persecutes the seed of the serpent, it is a reverse, it is the seed of the serpent, and always the seed of the serpent, the evil seed, that hates and always persecutes the seed of the woman, who is a righteous seed, and they still do, even as we speak, because as I said earlier, this second enmity, M2, is carried on between the two seeds all through the ages and dispensations of time, on a spiritual realm, which is on religious realm. I repeat, this enmity is at work as we speak today, between the seeds of the serpent, who are Satan's, and the seeds of Adam, who are God's. After Cain blatantly lied to God, in our continued X-ray of Genesis chapter 4, verse 10 records, and he, God, said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cast from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand." Brothers and sisters, please note that God cursed Cain, and we must ask, why did God curse Cain, and not the earth? Your answer is as good as mine. God cursed Cain for the simple reason that he was not of God, because God cannot curse his seed, who is part of God, for that was why God did not curse Adam in Genesis 3 verse 17. God cursed the earth, because of Adam. Verse 12, "When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength." A divine verdict which confirms the natural talent that Cain possessed, the botanical and agricultural ability that God had invested in his daddy, the serpent creature, a genetic trait which was passed on to Cain, for he inherited it from his daddy, the serpent. The Lord also added, "A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth," meaning that Cain would become a spiritual outlaw on the earth, cut off from God. This is a truth we brought out in our scribe, titled Genesis, Cain and Abel, a truth we reinforced in our book, titled Really Go, all available online for free downloading. Verse 13, "And Cain said unto the Lord, God, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. What utter godless audacity Cain had! What satanic impudence! He had no remorse, and certainly no conscience that could be pricked, no ounce of mercy, but only inhuman and demonic attributes, beastly attributes. He could kill his own brother in cold, calculated, premeditated murder, for nothing, and feel no ounce of guilt, and then protest God's punishment. I say again, if you cannot see the seed of the serpent, it is just as Apostle Paul declared, the God of this evil world has blinded your eyes, because the truth cannot be plainer, and I say that humbly, as we are nothing of ourselves, for it is all by the grace of God. 2 Corinthians 4 verses 3 to 4. The fact remains, however, that the nature of Cain speaks for itself, for it speaks volumes. The extremely beastly, evil, violent, and wicked attributes of his nature proves without any atom of doubt that Cain was undisputedly the seed of the serpent. Church, on the full and unquestionable authority of the Word of God, the canonical scriptures, assure you Cain, the seed of the serpent. Brothers and sisters, notwithstanding the truths that we have laid out thus far, the fact remains that if we are to perfectly identify precisely who the two classes or groups of people expressed in Genesis chapter 6 are, if we are to know exactly who they are, we have to finish off the picture of the seed of the serpent, which Genesis chapter 4 gives to us, as it forms the foundation for their true identity. Therefore, we will continue with our consideration of Genesis chapter 4, following the complaint of Cain, verse 15 records. And please pay close attention. And the Lord said unto him, Cain, therefore whosoever sloweth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Saints of God, this mark, which most definitely acted as a visible means of deterrence, a physical means of deterring whoever would consider killing Cain, was nothing but his supernatural transformation into a giant Nephilim. For just as God had instantly and supernaturally transformed the serpent creature into a snake, God also supernaturally increased the physical stature of Cain that very instant, and Cain immediately became a giant, a Nephilim, an imposing and fearsome statured person. Since we have portrayed the transforming mark of Cain here, Brother Amos points to the chart on the immediate bottom left of the middle area of our chart. We have also laid out this truth in the scribe titled Genesis, the Mark of Cain, and it is a truth that we also reinforced in our book titled Really Go, both of which are available online for free downloading for whoever is interested in knowing this truth. Brothers and sisters, here was the very first giant on this planet, the first Nephilim ever, beginning from the era of Adam and Eve, and his name was Cain, the seed of the serpent. This is the genesis of giants, Nephilim, the beginning of giants in the entire Holy Bible. Therefore, until men see this truth, this very beginning, merely talking about the origin of Nephilim in Genesis chapter 6, is talking about things that is too wonderful for them to understand. And unfortunately, this is precisely what a lot of men in the ministry are doing today. No wonder St. Paul warned St. Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 4 to 7, declaring, neither give heed to fables, storytelling, carnal and scripturally baseless messages, teachings that lead nowhere, and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, love, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, meaningless messages, empty projections, carnal teachings. Now listen to this, for it is where we are going, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. That is it. Just how can men teach about the origin of giants, Nephilim, on planet Earth, looking at it strictly from the era of Adam and Eve, and go straight to Genesis chapter 6. Come on! It is like going to Genesis chapter 6 to prove the origin of man, when it is Genesis chapters 1 and 2. That gives us this truth. Brothers and sisters, the mark of Cain is nothing but the gigantic stature that God gave him that day, for he was supernaturally changed by the power of God into a giant, and this is where we have the first Nephilim ever, the very first giant. The first Nephilim on earth, from the days of Adam and Eve, was Cain, the seed of the serpent. Deny that if you can. Genesis chapter 4, verse 16, now states, "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden, and in the land of Nod, which I often call Nodiwood, just like Hollywood in our day, was where Cain established his kingdom, having parted ways with God, for he was completely done with the worship of God. He no longer had anything to do with God, just like his father, the serpent, being totally earthbound, for he was now a spiritual vagabond, an outlaw to God." Brothers and sisters, it was in Nodiwood that the world corrupting evil spirit of Hollywood first began, for here in Nodiwood, its evil seed was sown. This passage of scripture gives us a picture of the seed of the serpent, who was now opposed to God, having no relationship with God, for he had become a non-religious person, having totally thrown off the toga, cloak, of religion, and was now ready to serve Satan's next move of evil. Watch verse 17. "And Cain knew his wife, who could be none other than his sister, his half-sister, the daughter of his mother, Eve. I say that because according to Genesis 5 verse 4, Adam also fathered daughters, whose births were not recorded, as it was only the births of the males that were recorded. And according to God's law of balanced reproduction, stated in Genesis 5 verse 2, to every male there was a female born, male and female created he them, for the balanced reproduction of humanity. Before this law was touched, suspended, a truth we brought out in the scribe, titled, Genesis, the mixing of seeds. We will take verse 17 again. And Cain knew his wife, who was his half-sister, and she conceived, and bare Enoch, saith, and running ahead of God, even in the giving of names. For this was Cain's Enoch, the Enoch of serpent seeds, and he builded a city, and called the name of the city, after the name of his son, Enoch, for carnal earthly glory." So, we can all see that Cain, the seed of the serpent, was the first city builder on this planet, for he was a carnal-minded, earthbound creature, with nothing left of God in him. Satan was seriously on the roll, on the move, in the day, as his lineage, the lineage of Cain, was eaten voraciously from the tree of knowledge, producing great minds, great thinkers, engineers, scientists, architects, accomplished masons, builders, etc., but all earthbound, carnal-minded people, serpent seeds. Verse 18, "And unto Enoch was born Arad, and Arad begat Mehuyael, and Mehuyael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech." Satan was again running ahead of God's Lamech, for this was the Lamech of the Cainites. Saints, all of these men were serpent seeds, all seeds of Cain, who was the original seed of the serpent creature. How many see the picture? Come on! Open your eyes, for the truth is standing tall. We are not preaching and teaching fables, but pure truth, scriptural truth, the revealed truth of the Holy Scriptures. Church, it is important to add at this point, for we must understand, firstly, that in the inspired record of the Word of God, in the main, only the birth of the firstborn was recorded, whatever the lineage, and this is apart from the fact that the birth of the females were not recorded. Secondly, we must also note that although Cain was now a giant, a Nephilim, nevertheless, not all his offspring were giants. In other words, a great majority of his children were normal-statured people like he was, prior to his supernatural transformation into a giant, although he also fathered many who were giants. Saints, I repeat, here is where we have the beginning of giants, Nephilim, and Cain was the man that was used to produce giants ever before time rolled into Genesis chapter 6, which only gives us a climax of developments in the earth when God would bring everything to an end with the flood of Noah. Wake up, for Cain, being a giant, fathered giants, even though he also fathered people who had the normal stature that he had, before his transformation into a giant. And we must see this truth, which is precisely why the children we produce as humans are not always of the same stature as us. Some are taller and bigger than us who are parents, while some are also shorter and smaller than us, while yet, some have the same stature as us. The bottom line, saints of God, is that Cain was the father, the progenitor of the giants, Nephilim, in the day. That was precisely why on August the 23rd, 1964, in Questions and Answers, paragraph 103, William Branham was asked this question, and we will quote him only in material parts. In Genesis 6 verse 4, after the flood, where did the giants come from? That's a good one, very good. That's a sensible question. Where did these giants come from? Adam wasn't a giant as far as we know, cause if it would, the Bible will say so. He was just an ordinary man. Where did they come from? Now, this is a great dispute. For it is indeed a greatly disputed issue, because many erroneously believe and teach that fallen angels pressed themselves into human flesh and produced giants who were the seeds of the serpent. Skipping to paragraph 106, Brother Branham then firmly declared, so the giants never come from angels pressing themselves in women. These giants were the sons of Cain, whose father was the serpent, who looked in every respect exactly like a man, but was a great, huge fellow, bigger than a man. And that is the absolute truth, because the giants were indeed the seeds of Cain, even though Brother Branham was not given the revelation of the mark of Cain, letting him know that Cain himself was the very first giant, which was precisely why his lineage, the lineage of Cain, was able to produce the giants. Brothers and sisters, from verse 17 of Genesis chapter 4, the Holy Bible gives us with absolute clarity the lineage of Cain, which gives us nothing other than the lineage of serpent seeds. It most certainly does. Listen to verse 19. And Lamech took unto him two wives, the name of the one was Adar, and the name of the other Zillah. Now we see the first polygamist on the planet, Lamech, the seed of the serpent, the lineage of Cain, who were the seeds, plural seeds, of the serpent. In other words, polygamy was introduced by the seeds of the serpent, and with polygamy introduced among them, which, obviously, was as a result of promiscuity, we have to see that they were having an explosion of births, especially because few people do not make up a city. Brothers and sisters, we have to see a satanic explosion of promiscuity, gross immorality in the day, for the pleasure relationship which the serpent introduced to Eve was taken to another level. Thus far, we can all clearly see that scripturally and incontestably, the seeds of the serpent, the lineage of Cain, a man who was the original seed of the serpent, were the murderers, the promiscuous, the fornicators, the polygamists, the renowned botanists, agriculturalists, architects, engineers, masons, the city builders, for they were the people with great intellectual ability, with great education, all carnal, absolutely earthly, for they were people completely devoid of God. Verse 20, and Adar, the first wife of Lamech, bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. This gives us the nomadic type people, like the Bedouins of the Middle East, and the Gypsies of Europe, such as the Roma or Romani people. Verse 21, and his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. Now we see the world's first renowned musicians, worldly musicians, musical minstrels, accomplished entertainers and artists of the day. Verse 22, and Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, a compound name, for Tubal was joined to Cain, their progenitor. It is very interesting to know, brothers and sisters, that according to Hitchcock's Bible Names Dictionary, the name Tubal means the earth, the world, confusion. And what a befitting name for this kernel of bound serpent seed, Tubal-Cain. Verse 22, and Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, for they were the engineers and the scientists of the day. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. He had committed murder, and it was most likely unintentional, and hence, it was probably really manslaughter. But look at his incredible statement. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Brothers and sisters, all these evil attributes prove undoubtedly that these were indeed a godless lineage, carnal-minded, earthbound creatures, people with no conscience, and who had nothing of God in them, for they were truly the seeds of the serpent. All their knowledge was earthly, carnal, however great it may have been, and as we brought out in the scribe, titled, The Prosperity of Serpent Seeds, they were the educated people, the intellectuals, the people who knew everything about the soil and the rocks, and they knew how to grow anything. For as Adam had authority over the animal kingdom, and that authority passed to Abel, so the serpent also have authority over plants and soils, knowing how to till it, how to make it blossom, how to make it grow abundantly, and this germ also passed to his son, Cain. Hence, the Cainites knew the genetics of plants, and the law of botany, and the chemical composition of soils, and what to do with them. That is precisely why today, serpent seeds know more about the rocks on the moon than they know about their maker, whilst in total contrast, we do not care about the rocks on the moon, we only care about our maker. Hallelujah! Church, these modern-day serpent seeds are ever fascinated, mesmerized, and totally awed by the incredible and mind-boggling diversity, the limitless variety, the captivating and most astonishing beauty, and the breathtaking intricacy, the complex detail, in living creatures, the balance in nature, in the ecosystem, and the incredible harmony and interdependency that exists in the creation of God. But they have no knowledge of God, and neither do they care for the God who created all these things. What a shame! They know about every law of business, commerce, technology, and science, physics, chemistry, biology, and mathematics, and they are the computer and internet gurus and whiz kids, but they have no clue about their creator. Saints of God, in the day in Genesis, as I must reiterate, the Cainites were the scientists, the engineers, the architects, the construction gurus, the city builders, the great farmers, the renowned botanists, the accomplished musicians and artists, but they were all without a relationship with their maker. Open your eyes to the lineage of Cain, the lineage of serpent seeds. For the Cainites were the seeds of the serpent. In total contrast, let us now take a close look at the lineage of Adam, who were the sons of God, the lineage that takes us all the way to Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, the serpent bruiser. Luke 3 verses 23 to 38. Genesis chapter 4, verse 25 clearly records, And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed, another heir, instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord, God Almighty, in worship and adoration, as well as in their honest plea for his divine intervention for the preservation of their separation. Brothers and sisters, this earnest plea for intervention was all on account of the extremely evil, most ungodly, and troubling developments that were taking place in the earth in that day, through the lineage of Cain, the seeds of the serpent. For we must realize that the conditions conveyed in Genesis chapter 6 only gives us a climax, and not the beginning of those very things. For something has to reach a point of maturity, a climax, before God draws the curtain over it, before he judges it. The bottom line, saints of God, is that this lone verse 26, that God reserved in this chapter of Genesis to give a condensed revelation of the lifestyle of the lineage of Seth, which is the Adamic lineage, the lineage of the sons of God, tells us the whole story. For it tells us all we need to know about them. For in contrast to the lineage of Cain, the serpent seeds, the lineage of Seth, were the God worshippers, who lived a very humble and simple life, and whose lives centered around the worship of Elohim God. Full stop. You have to see this truth, because it is not for nothing that the description of the lineage of Cain took the entire chapter, barring just a few verses, leaving just verse 4 and verses 25 to 26 for the description of the lineage of Seth, just as God ordained it to be written. Stepping up a notch in our presentation of this message, titled The Doctrine of the Seed of the Serpent, we now want to launch into Genesis chapter 6. For brothers and sisters, if things were left just as it was at this very point in time, in the day, as revealed in Genesis chapter 4, this earth would have remained with two completely different and distinct classes of humanity, two totally different and distinct and identifiable streams of humanity, two parallel and opposing streams of humanity, the lineage of Seth, who were the sons of God, and the lineage of Cain, who were the seeds of the serpent, the vicarious seeds of Satan, called Lucifer, the devil. The devil was, however, not content with things remaining like this, because the lineage of Seth, the sons of God, would not serve him, and neither would they exemplify his evil nature. For Satan wants to be like God. He wants to take over the whole of humanity, and be God over the world, especially as the control of the cursed earth was now his, on account of the fall, and through the fall. Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 14, Genesis 3, verse 17. Wake up. The point is, since God had allowed Satan to use a serpent creature to acquire a seed for himself, who was Cain, through whom many more seeds were produced for Satan, who were the Cainites, the lineage of Cain, God also had to allow the devil to take over humanity, knowing that his will as God will prevail, and further, knowing that he, as God, is one step ahead of the devil, particularly as everything that was done was serving to enable him, God, to express his redemptive attributes, and it was all going to serve his plan of redemption. For redemption would usher in regeneration through the new birth, which the promised Messiah, the serpent bruiser, would give to God's elect seeds. In other words, Satan needed to take over God's human creation so he could rule and control all. And this brings us to the second major move of Satan, which was the genetic mixing of the two seeds, a truth we brought out in detail in the scribe titled Genesis, the mixing of seeds. Satan's main plan was this, that through intermarriages between the lineage of Cain and the lineage of Seth, the pure genetic soul quality of the lineage of Seth, who were the sons of God, would be completely bred down, till they would no longer be able to hear from God, and as such, they would end up serving him, the devil. This is a truth that the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 6, verses 16 to 18, gives us, plainly declaring, Know ye not, that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, that ye were the servants of sin, in times past, before receiving redemption. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So, going back to the master plan of Satan in the day, which was hatched out in the land of Nod, right there in Nodiwood, and which came to its head in Genesis chapter 6, we want to see exactly what happened as we now turn to Genesis chapter 6. However, we must remember, for I need to reiterate, that Genesis chapter 6 does not give us the beginning of the evil developments conveyed therein. It only gives a climax of the evil happenings on the earth in that day, when things came to its head, which God now brought to a close in this very chapter of Genesis. May I also remind you that the record of Genesis was not written in a way that every Tom, Dick, and Harry can rightly interpret it. Otherwise, we would not need the revelation of the Holy Spirit God. That is why the theologians of this world, the so-called doctors of divinity and professors of ignorance, are always breaking their heads trying to interpret Genesis, a fact which applies to chapter 6, which they have butchered up, and with which they are teaching demonic doctrines. Having laid the necessary scriptural background for the true understanding of Genesis chapter 6, by the exposition of Genesis chapters 3 and 4, we will now open up Genesis chapter 6. And may the Lord help us. We are skipping Genesis chapter 5, because it only gives us the genealogy of Adam to Noah. period, church, in Genesis chapter 6, beginning from verse 1, the Holy Bible records, "And it came to pass, when men, carnal men," referring exclusively and specifically to the lineage of Cain, the seeds of the serpent, the very first of the class of men revealed in this particular chapter, "began to multiply on the face of the earth." A mass multiplication which takes us right back to Genesis chapter 4, for this mass reproduction began precisely in chapter 4, in the land of Nod, within the lineage of Cain, the seeds of the serpent. Church, Satan accomplished this great numerical growth, this mass birth, by motivating the Cainite men to have multiple marriages, polygamous marriages, and undoubtedly, this was set in motion by the explosion of promiscuity in the land of Nod, rightly dividing the word of truth. We will take verse 1 again. "And it came to pass, when men, Cainite men, began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, unto these men, daughters were born unto these carnal men, the Cainites, that the sons of God," another class of men, different and distinct to the first class of men, for the latter class was spiritual, not carnal, but spiritual, being the sons of God, the lineage of Seth, the Sethite men, saw the daughters of men, Cainites, that they were fair, cosmetically beautiful, attractive. These Cainite daughters, anointed by seducing spirits, dressed most seductively, flaunting their wares, just as Balaam also later taught the daughters of Moab to do for the men of Israel in Baal-peor, in Numbers 25 verses 1 to 9. Since these Cainite daughters dressed and walked alluringly in front of the Sethite men, twisting their hips from side to side like snakes, craving for their attention. It is just as Isaiah chapter 3 later spoke about concerning the daughters of Israel in verse 16. "Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, like snakes, reptilian serpents, and making a tinkling with their feet." This very spirit had its origin in the land of Nod, in Genesis, where the daughters of the Cainites dressed and walked seductively before the sons of God, who were the Sethite lineage. And what was the result? Genesis chapter 6, verse 2 records, "that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, Cainites, that they were fair, captivating, and they took them wives of all which they chose." Brothers and sisters, we have portrayed this sad development on our chart, right here at the top middle section. Brother Amos points to the chart, with the caption, "Mixed Marriage," giving us a picture of the two lineages, the Cainite lineage, and the Sethite lineage. Church, the mixed marriages that took place right here between the Sethite men, who were the sons of God, and the daughters of men, who were the Cainites, caused by the seductive presentation of the Cainite daughters, broke down the moral resistance of the sons of the lineage of Seth, and with the promiscuity that followed, it also brought polygamy into the lineage of Seth. Satan ensured that the polygamy going on in chapter 4, which was limited to the lineage of Cain, the seeds of the serpent, now broke forth in the lineage of Seth, the sons of God, who lost their separation, as they took many Cainite daughters as wives, falling prey to their spirit, their power, of seduction, in mixed marriages. Since, by the mixed marriages, the pure genetic soul quality of the lineage of Seth, the Sethites, were totally defiled and bred down, so much so, until the sons of God could no longer hear from God, also becoming carnal. None of them, with the exception of Noah and his family, heeded the message of God for that day, for none of them entered the ark of Noah, but all perished in the flood, and God started anew with Noah and his family, an irrefutable evidence of their genetic degeneration. The rest is history. Hence, the Holy Bible records in verse 3, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. And God said that, because the lineage of Seth, the sons of God, had now fallen in their genetic state, and were no longer any different from the Cainites, for they had also become fleshly, yet his days shall be 120 years. God brought down the days of man considerably, as longevity of life was taken, unlike Methuselah, who lived 969 years, 31 years short of one day. So, I ask, Just where are you going to bring in angels to this clear picture when angels have absolutely nothing to do with the evil development we see here, except that fallen angels, who are the demons, were behind the scene, inspiring this evil and demonic development, which gives us Satan's second strike. This was Satan's means of taking out the difference that had existed between the two seeds, the two different and distinct streams of humanity, the lineage of Cain and the lineage of Seth, so he could be served, not just by the Cainites, who were his seeds, but also by the Sethites, the seeds of God, which in essence, now gave him control over the whole of humanity. He wanted to take over and control God's human creation, which he did in that day, following which he would also take over God's plan of redemption, and we must equally see this takeover plot of Lucifer. However, the serpent bruiser, the prophetic, spiritual seed of the woman, who is the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to crush him, and has crushed him, for the devil is already a defeated foe. Thank God for the sacrifice at Calvary. That is precisely why in the Gospel of St. John chapter 14, Jesus referred to Satan, declaring of him in verses 30 to 31, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince, the ruler and controller of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me," meaning, Satan has found no unbelief or disobedience in me, as God's spiritual seed, unlike the first Adam, who was God's natural seed, whom Satan fell. Hence, Jesus concluded by referring to his total faithfulness to his commission, declaring, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do." Being entirely faithful and true to God and to the commission that he had received as the perfect redeeming seed of God, who cannot fail. Church, this now brings us to verse 4 of Genesis chapter 6, which is the verse that these apostate preachers used to present to their completely baseless, highly erroneous, utterly ridiculous, and demonic doctrine. It is what they use as a base for the projection of the false doctrine of the seed of the serpent. I say that because this projection is completely anti-word, and hence, anti-Christ, even though there is a true doctrine of the seed of the serpent, which we have set forth in this scribe, an absolute truth of God, which the devil is seriously seeking to pervert, to twist. And the devil has every reason to do all he can to pervert this doctrine, because the truth of it is what unmasks him, exposing him to the depths of his crucial major evil plans, which he wants the world to be completely ignorant of. Therefore, it is Satan's blinding move that is inspiring loads of men around the world to peddle the false doctrine of the seed of the serpent, bombarding Christendom with it. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4 records, "There were giants, Nephilim, in the earth in those days, in the lineage of Cain, and the first giant, the first Nephilim, was Cain himself." This is a truth we have unveiled by the grace of God, a truth that is concealed in Genesis 4 verse 15, and also after that, meaning, additionally, "There were also giants, when the sons of God, the lineage of Seth, not angels, for no angel is a son of God, but the Sethites, the lineage of Adam, came in unto the daughters of men, who were the lineage of Cain." Church, the mixed marriages that took place in that day, a very sad development at that, also created genetic imbalances in the offspring produced, a mixed offspring, whereby also producing giants, and they bear children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown, but with no record and of standing with God. Let us now ask, where do we see the serpent creature anywhere in this passage of the Holy Bible? Do not forget that there was only one serpent, which is precisely why we are talking about the seed of the serpent, and not about the seed of the serpents, plural, but of the seed of the serpent, singular, a creature who is clearly nowhere found here in Genesis chapter 6. We also have to ask again, where exactly do fallen angels come into play in this plain account of Genesis, when, on the basis of Genesis chapters 3 and 4, the identity of the men in Genesis chapter 6, to whom daughters were born, is not a conjuration of magic, but were men who had their genesis in the Holy Scriptures, and whose multiplication in the beginning is clearly recorded in Genesis chapter 4, beginning with the birth of Enoch, the first son of Cain, after whom the first city that was ever built on this planet was even named. Come on! Genesis 4 verses 16 to 17. This is not a fable, and neither is this hand-me-down traditions of men, but rather, it is revealed truth, which has its firm and unshakable foundation in the Holy Bible. Brothers and sisters, a true revelation of God only makes the truth of God plain, as it opens up the Holy Scriptures, establishing the children of God firmly and unshakably upon the solid rock of the Word of God. True revelation does not lose the children of God, and neither does it confuse the children of God, but rather, it only enlightens and establishes them in the Word of God. There were no angels involved here in the physical realm, none whatsoever. Moreover, the sons of God, a title which takes in the daughters of God, gives us nothing but God's elect seeds. It is just as in Isaiah chapter 43, where the Lord, speaking about their restoration to the land of Israel, proclaimed to the children of Israel, declaring in verses 5 to 7, Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, Give up, and to the south, Keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. What is more, it is infallibly, clearly, and categorically written in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5, For unto which of the angels said he, God, at any time, past or present, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Unto none, unto absolutely none, was such a declaration ever made. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Unto none of the angels was this ever stated. In verse 13, Apostle Paul reiterated this absolute truth, declaring, But to which of the angels said he, God, at any time, sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. So, then, exactly what are angels? In verse 14, Apostle Paul spelt it out, stating with absolute clarity and divine finality, Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Sent forth to minister to the sons and daughters of God, Adam's entire elect fallen race, the sole beneficiaries of God's redemption. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. In essence, it simply means that we cannot take the sons of God in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, and make them angels, whether fallen angels or righteous angels, but they are only the lineage of Seth, the lineage of Adam, which was the son of God. Period. And as we also stated in part 1 of this scribe, angels cannot have carnal knowledge of any human being, otherwise they would have continued to do so today, particularly in this age, when iniquity has reached an unprecedented level, evident footprints of the workings of fallen angels, demons. It is not as if fallen angels can repent and or be redeemed, for their eternal estate has been sealed, and it was sealed, ever before God created Adam and Eve, ever before our Eden, the Eden of man. We must not also forget the infallible prophetic utterance that the Lord Jesus gave in Luke chapter 17, verses 26 to 30. Of the repeat of the evil developments we have right here, in the days of Noah and Lot. Consequently, if angels had had sex with women in the days of Noah, which is firmly and scripturally denied, they will still likewise be having sex with women today, and they would also have continued to produce giants, on account of the great genetic imbalance that such an evil relationship would have created. And there would also be in fulfillment of the infallible and immutable prophecy that Jesus Christ gave about this end time, of the repeat of the evil conditions that existed in the days of Noah, especially as the time of the fallen angels is very short, extremely limited. Revelation 12 verse 12. Come on! In the resurrection, and as it is written, we will be mortals, and as immortals, we will no longer marry or given in marriage. For we shall be as the angels of God in heaven, who can neither marry nor father offspring, particularly as they cannot produce seed, for only God can create seed. Matthew 22 verses 23 to 30. These are scriptural facts, which let us know undoubtedly, that angels simply cannot have sexual relationships with women, let alone further the giant is conveyed in Genesis chapter 6. Full stop, listen to what Reverend Schofield also says in his footnotes in the Old Schofield Bible. And please note that all emphasis is mine. Some hold that these sons of God were the angels which kept not their first estate, Jude 6. It is asserted that the title is in the Old Testament, exclusively use of angels. But this is an error. Isaiah 43 verse 6. Angels are spoken of in a sexless way. No female angels are mentioned in Scripture. And we are expressly told that marriage is unknown among angels, Matthew 22 verse 30. Now listen to this. The uniform Hebrew and Christian interpretation has been that verse 2 marks the breaking down of the separation between the godly line of Seth and the godless line of Cain. And so the failure of the testimony to Jehovah committed to the line of Seth, Genesis 4 verse 26. And that is the gospel truth, a scripturally irrefutable fact. Church, it is even outright demonic to teach such hideousness, outrageousness, that angels had sex with women, and that they produced giants, Nephilim, who were serpent seeds, a gross untruth which tears down tons and tons of scriptures. Church, we have also portrayed this false and demonic projection right here, at the lower middle section of the chart. Brother Amos points to the chart, where we have giants, with an angel coddling a woman. May I add that this demonic doctrine, wherever it first began, and whoever first received it, and the aggressive global spread of it by mortal youths of men in the ministry, is being projected, in the desperate bid of men to have a special revelation, which has opened the door to seducing spirits, who inspired them with this doctrine that is straight from the pit of hell. It is designed to derail people from the pathway of truth. It is Satan's means of divestment. And that is precisely one of the very reasons Satan raised up tares, who are the religious seeds of the serpent in Christendom, who are not just instruments for the testing of God's seeds, and are also not just evil seeds by which the devil took over Christendom, but they are also used to twist, misplace, misinterpret, deny, explain away, contradict, and hence, overturn the word of God. This is the objective of the spirit of the Antichrist, which is the spirit of Satan. And by creating so much confusion, mass confusion, in Christendom, is Satan's way of making people totally disoriented, that they simply throw in the towel, lose in their way, and completely lose interest in the truth, not knowing where truth lies anymore, and not even caring, because that confusion is just too much. Therefore, brothers and sisters, the bombardment of Christendom with the false doctrine of the seed of the serpent is Satan's way of forcing untruth on men, because bombardment reinforces error, and with time, the consistent and mass publication of untruth makes error look like truth to carnal-minded, unrevelated souls. Now consider this fact, and wake up. Satan would not have needed to use a serpent creature in the Garden of Eden if he could father children by himself. Come on! What will Satan need vicarious, indirect children for, if he could easily have had children by himself with women? What will he have needed them for, if he could easily have created a physical body for himself, and thereby impregnate women? Some things just do not make sense. Apart from the fact that such a projection is even most ridiculous, and is outrightly demon-inspired. Indeed, it is a doctrine of devils. These men blatantly and willfully reject and condemn the absolute truth of the Word of God, the true and perfect revelation of the Holy Bible, that William Branham bore, and it is the false doctrine of the seed of the serpent that comes directly from the pit of hell, that they would rather believe. Lord have mercy on this apostate, perverse, and degenerate world of Christendom. This reminds me of a testimony Brother Jackson once gave, where he said he was listening to the television evangelist, Jimmy Swaggart, when he called the teaching of Brother Branham on the doctrine of the seed of the serpent a doctrine from the pit of hell. When Brother Jackson heard this condemnation of the true Bible teaching, he said something like this to himself: "The day will come when God will expose you for your blasphemy." Brother Jackson added that it was just a few months thereafter, when Jimmy Swaggart was defrocked by the Assemblies of God in April 1988 on account of a sex scandal, which he was involved in with prostitutes, and this was even after his public tearful apology in February 1988. You cannot afford to sin against the Holy Ghost by attributing to the devil what only God can do, or indeed what belongs to God. You most certainly cannot dance with the devil and go scot-free. Now we know who was inspired from the pit of hell. You cannot touch, condemn, something that has a solid and an infallible Bible base, otherwise you will pay a great price. You do not have to accept something, neither do you have to believe it, but when you see something that has a solid Bible base, you will undo yourself by trying to knock it, just because you do not like it, or just because it offends your theology. And as Brother Branham often stated, fools walk with hobnail shoes where angels fear to trod. Certainly. And that is exactly what the Holy Bible states, declaring in Jude chapter 1, verses 8 to 13. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, establish divine authority, and speak evil of dignities, God's dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gain, saying of Kor, which is presumptuousness, always declaring that the Lord told them this, and the Lord told them that, the Lord spoke to them today, and the Lord spoke to them yesterday, peddling all sorts of nonsense in the name of the Lord, when the Lord has not spoken to them at all. Apostle Jude continued, declaring, these are spots in your feast of charity, feast of love, when the feast, fellowship, with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, empty men, empty vessels, mere chaff, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit with the wrath, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, who are never anchored in truth, for they have no revelation of anything, and hence, they are always leaving one false teaching, to hold to yet another false teaching, always leaving one error, only to hold to yet another error, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And exactly who are these? They are nothing but serpent seeds, religious serpent seeds, the posterity of Cain. Brothers and sisters, as we come back to finish off the picture in Genesis chapter 6, we can now all clearly see Satan's second major strike, the first major strike being the fall, through which he had acquired a seed for himself, through the serpent, who was Cain, the progenitor of the Cainites. Now Satan used the beautiful-looking, extremely seductive dressing, and alluring conduct of the daughters of the lineage of Cain, to bombard the sons of God, the lineage of Seth, and these Cainite daughters succeeded in breaking down their moral resistance. This led the sons of God, the lineage of Seth, who had a pure genetic soul quality, to enter into mixed marriages with the daughters of the lineage of Cain, who, as the seeds of the serpent, were beastly and downright carnal, in the genetic constitution of their souls, and by this evil move, the genetic purity of the souls of the Adamic lineage was corrupted and badly bred down, particularly seeing that the evil gene is extremely dominant. Therefore, the more they intermarried, the more they mixed, interbred, the worse the Sethites got genetically, in their soul state, so much so, that one time rolled into the days of Noah, they could no longer hear from God. And unfortunately, the difference and the distinction that had existed then, between the two separate and distinct streams of humanity, was completely removed, wiped out. For the Sethites, the lineage of Seth, the sons of God, had now also become carnal, just as the prophetic name of Enos, the son of Seth, had exemplified, for Enos means mortal man. Hence, in Genesis chapter 6, from verse 5, it is written, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." The very fact that his own seeds, the lineage of Seth, who were the lineage of Adam, the lineage of the sons of God, could go down this way, grieve the heart of God. We must realize that the Lord could not have expected anything better from the Canaanites, who were the seeds of the serpent, but he most certainly expected a lot better from his own children. Verse 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Please note that these particular verses of Scripture, verses 5 to 7, proves with unquestionable crystal clarity that in Genesis chapter 6, it was not angels that God was grieved with, whether we want to consider evil angels or holy angels, and neither was it angels that were judged in this chapter of the Holy Bible, but only men were judged. Therefore, it amounts to a total disregard for the Holy Bible, a blatant and willful unbelief, and a complete fabrication of men, to teach or even insinuate that any class of angels were judged in this chapter of the Holy Bible. Willfully and erroneously creating a judgment of angels in this day that did not take place, for it was only the whole of humanity that was judged with the flood, and not any class of angels. As it is written in verse 12, And God looked upon the earth, and, behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh, all humanity, had corrupted his way upon the earth. It takes a pathological liar, a devil, to read this holy chapter and see the judgment of angels in this plain account of the Word of God. The mixed marriages, the violence, the evil, the immorality, and the wickedness of man was just too much in that day that the Lord decided to wipe the slate clean and start afresh, as he already had a great plan. Continuing from verse 8, the Holy Bible reveals, But Noah found grace, unmerited favor, in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, and consequently, he refused to enter into polygamy like the rest of the Sethites had done, but remained in a monogamous marriage, setting an example in that day, and perfect in his generations, comparatively. And Noah walked with God, which is the bottom line, the main thing, the crucial fundamental issue. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, and God looked upon the earth, and, behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. May I ask, brothers and sisters, that in that day, where this evil development had now come to its head, there was no longer any pure Sethite, just as the Holy Scripture has clearly declared, that all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth, and as such, even Noah was not genetically pure. It was grace that he found with God, and undoubtedly, he was the best vessel that God could find on use in the day, for Noah still had a soul quality that could hear from God above his peers, and Noah could still serve God's divine purpose faithfully. As elect bright seeds of God, we must know that it was God that preserved seed for himself in that hour of time, to further his divine purpose, for God had Noah in his plan of redemption, before the foundation of the world. Back in eternity, when God was all by himself, as a self-existing one, that was why Noah did not join all the others into polygamy and revelry, and we must realize that as a just man, he must have married the best lady that he could find in the day, which was precisely why it took him many centuries before getting a wife, most unlike his progenitors. However, as recorded in Genesis chapter 9, verses 20 to 21, the very fact that right after the flood, when God had just wiped away the whole of humanity for their iniquitous lifestyles, leaving only Noah and his immediate family, Noah planted a vineyard, made wine, and drank it to a drunken state, a drunken stupor, so much so that he laid nude in his tent, confirms the absolute fact that he was not a pure Sethite. His own lifestyle, which was most certainly a carryover, vindicates this truth. The genetic state of his soul was definitely not pure, although he was the best that God could get in that day, and he served God's purpose faithfully and perfectly. Verse 13, And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And, behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Brothers and sisters, we must realize that God brought everything to a close in that day, because everything had come to its head, to its climax, for the defiling of the genetic purity of the Sethites, the seeds of God, had been complete. This was the fundamental reason that none of Noah's extended family entered the ark, and neither did any other person in the lineage of Seth enter the ark, but all perished in the flood. Think about it. Only Noah, his wife, their three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, along with their wives, eight souls in total, entered the ark that God commissioned Noah to build, which he built with the help of his family, who were the only souls that believed his message. And God wiped out that entire generation of people with the flood, including all the giants, and started anew. This setting is what we have also portrayed here. Brother Amos points to the chart on the immediate right side of the middle area of our chart, which conveys the ark and the rainbow covenant with the names of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The material issue we now need to consider, brothers and sisters, is how the serpent's seed, the seed of the serpent, crossed over from the flood. It is an issue we must consider in order to do justice to the truth, particularly because, and we must not forget this crucial fact, the second enmity, and two, that God spoke of between the two seeds, still carries on presently, for it does not end until the final conflict on the day of the Lord, according to the second part of the third enmity, N3b, an event we have portrayed on the top of the extreme right side of the chart. As we speak this day, the two seeds are most certainly here, for the world is made up of the two streams of humanity that were conceived and born in Genesis, however, only distinguishable by God, because they have been fused into one mass of humanity, and hence, indistinguishable by man, except only God knows who is who. Brothers and sisters, there is no point just showing the plan of the devil in using the serpent creature to get seed to himself, who was Cain, through whom many more seeds came unto the devil, and not also show precisely how the two seeds end up, especially as the seeds of the serpent have a definite end. We all know, or should know, that with the transfer of the serpentine nature or traits, the serpentine germ into all seeds, we do not all have the same measure of serpentine traits, as it abounds in some more than in others. Consequently, when we consider Noah and his wife, it is scripturally evident that they were not pure genetically, and as such, the blame for how the serpentine trait or gene crossed over from the flood cannot be blamed on Mrs. Noah alone. It cannot be blamed on the woman, for her husband was not pure either, and his drunken lifestyle clearly testifies against his genetic purity. May I remind you that Noah had brothers and sisters, and according to Genesis chapter 5, verses 30, and Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years, and begat sons and daughters. However, none of Noah's brothers and sisters entered the ark. If Noah was pure, then so were his brothers and sisters, although this is firmly denied. For if they were pure in their genetic state, how come they did not enter the ark, but all perished in the flood? There is only one reason they all perished in the flood, one reason they failed to heed the message of God to Noah bore. They were not genetically pure Sethites. Period. And if they were not pure Sethites, then Noah was equally not pure, because they all came out from the same loins of Lamech. That was precisely why it is even clearly written that it was grace that Noah found with God, for he was most certainly not genetically pure. Consequently, Mrs. Noah definitely cannot be solely blamed for the serpentine genes that passed over from the flood, because Noah was as equally guilty. I say that because of men in the Branham movement, who hold to the quote of Brother William Branham, laid out in his message, titled, The Serpent's Seed, paragraphs 197 to 198, where he stated, Now, Noah and his sons, which come out, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, come out in the righteous line. How did the seed of the serpent ever get over? The seed come over in the ark, just like it did in the beginning, through the woman, their wives, the wives of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They carried the seed of Satan through the ark, just as Eve packed the seed of Satan to give birth to Cain, through the woman. That was his first explanation in September 1958 as to how the serpent and sea dog gene crossed over from the flood. And on face value, although his explanation looks good, knowing exactly what Eve did in the garden, nevertheless, we must know that this explanation is not true, but it is in fact incorrect, being only a supposition, his supposition, because it has no Bible to stand on. The fact that Eve did what she did in the garden does not mean that the wives of Noah and his three sons were solely responsible for how the serpent and gene crossed over from the flood, for they were most certainly not solely responsible. Nevertheless, this was Brother Branham's first explanation. In total contrast, however, in his later sermon dated June 1963, and titled Earnestly Contending for the Faith That Was Once Delivered to the Saints, the prophet gave a counterquote, a counterprojection, which is also incorrect, making both quotes totally off scripture. In paragraph 17 to 18, he declared, "If you want to find out what kind of a crop's going to come up out here, go back and find out what kind of seed you got planted. And now, Genesis is the seed of the beginning. And how that back there in the beginning, we see the spirits move up, which is a scriptural fact. For instance, all down through the scripture, we think of Babylon. When Babylon first appeared in Genesis, look at it down through the Bible. We also find it in Revelation 18. Babylon appeared back there. You know, Nimrod built Babylon. First Babylon was called the Gates of Heaven. Then it was called Confusion. And there's where idolatry first started. Now listen to this. Nimrod was a son of Ham, which come on back from a son of Cain. Saints, we all know that Ham, who, indeed, was in the ark, was not a seed of Cain, but he was indeed a seed of Noah. For Ham was begotten by Noah, who was not from the lineage of Cain, but was from the lineage of Seth, the lineage of the sons of God. In the first quote of Brother Branham, which contradicts this second quote, he even said of Ham, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, come out in the righteous line, because Ham was indeed a son of Noah. Therefore, Ham could not have been a son of Noah, which he scripturally was, and a son of Cain at the same time. For Ham to have been a son of Cain, he would have had to come from the lineage of Cain, which he most certainly did not. He came from the lineage of Seth through Noah, as an undeniable and incontestable son of Noah. Furthermore, it is crucial to know that Ham also maintained a monogamous marriage, thereby standing out morally, together with Noah, Shem, and Japheth, also monogamists, in the generation which God destroyed, where the lineage of Seth had been overtaken by the evil deluge of polygamy. More importantly, brothers and sisters, Ham is in the covenant of God, and I say that on the full and irrefutable authority of Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 to 9, where Elohim gave Shem, Ham, and Japheth the same commission that he gave Adam, having to start afresh in this second world, which is now at its end, particularly as Noah did not produce any more children other than Shem, Ham, and Japheth. This is a truth we have laid out in our scribe titled Ham is in the Covenant, as well as in our book titled The Input of Ham, a message which we further laid out in the scribe titled The Input of Ham, as an additional means of publishing this truth of God. Brothers and sisters, when we consider the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, it is an irrefutable scriptural fact that they all had the serpentine nature, that they all had serpentine traits in their genes, in their DNA, although it was in different measures, and that is precisely what we will prove next, and then move on. However, we will close our message right here, to conclude in the next segment of the scribe, the Lord being our helper. The Lord bless you.